Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. This has been a wonderful service. Thank you for your singing. Thank you, Pastor, for the reading of the Great Commission passages, especially Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus said, I'm going to be gone, and I want you to be witnesses. The Greek word there is martyreo, which means really martyrs. Martyr yourself to get the gospel out. And as you do that, God is gracious. God is faithful to take the word that you sow and bring forth fruit. I think about these missionaries that are here seeking prayer support and missionary support. I'm not seeking that. I'm fully supported missionary. Marquette has helped us and take care of us for years, invested in our ministry, and we're so grateful for that. But they're saying, Lord, send us support, send us prayer support. I look at them, and in a kind of way, I envy them, because the adventure of trusting God for daily bread is just beginning for them. And they're going to see God do some amazing, amazing things. As I stand before you, I have been in the ministry about 50 years now, and my wife and I have been married 50 years, and I've been in the ministry ever since, and I have all kinds of stories. I won't tell them all, but they're illustrations of faithful is he that calls you who also will do it. Amen. And no matter where you're going, what part of the world, if God has called you, he'll take care of you. He'll meet every need. He'll give you the great privilege of seeing a sovereign God draw the soul unto himself. And then maybe you'll have the privilege of opening the word and giving them the gospel and leading them to come to know the Savior. So we all know Mission Conference, Great Commission, found in many passages of Scripture. I want to take a little bit different tack this morning, and I want to show you what all of us must have if we're going to see God's power in our life to fulfill the Great Commission. It's called the filling of the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. There's a metaphor, a comparison, and you can take that and compare it to a Spirit-filled believer. But be filled with the Spirit. And the result is speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We did that this morning. I love the last song we sang. God will work as we go to every nation. Singing, making melody, apparently the most important part of music, which is constructed of melody, rhythm, and harmony, all important, but the most important, sing the melody. You can just sing the melody, not even be on pitch. You do it, and you minister to folks in the rooms, making melody in your heart to the Lord. What's the result of this filling of the Spirit? Thankful spirit, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus. And then verse 21, can't leave that out for the sentence isn't over till we get there. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And you know, when we preach on submission, we start with the women. Submit yourselves unto your husband and the Lord. And that's true. But really, we're to submit ourselves one to another, even in the context of the local church, and say, Lord, help me to defer. Help me to swallow my pride and maybe let another church member inform me and challenge me and help me to grow. Wonderful results of being filled with the Spirit. I'm sure you already know in this church, Holy Spirit Doctrine 101. That is, the minute you receive Christ as Savior, you are indwelt with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile. Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, know ye not that we're what? Baptized into the Lord Jesus. When he died on the cross, we had the potential of one day receiving Jesus, and the minute you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes, and you're baptized by the Spirit. You're indwelt with the Spirit. So the minute you get saved, you get all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to need. He lives within you. So wherever you go, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is there within your body. But then this passage says, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is not really that complicated. Over the years, I believe the devil has kind of used it and perverted it and caused some wrong doctrine to come from it. The filling of the Spirit is simply having all sin in your life right now confessed, you're right with God, and then you ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. First thing I do when I open my eyes in the morning, no matter where I am, is I thank God for something. Lord, thank you for this comfortable place to sleep. Thank you for the place I have to sleep here this week. Thank you for the fact that she actually has a coffee maker, and I did find the coffee, you know, and thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that I know my wife back in California loves you, and she's going to serve you. You've been so good. I say, Lord, thank you. And then I say, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need the filling of the Spirit today to do what you've called me to do. And then I dedicate that day to God. Lord, this Sunday, this Lord's Day, is your day. So I ask the Lord to fill me with the Spirit, and you know what? He'll do it. Now, if I have unconfessed sin, the Holy Spirit will remind me, and I get it settled, I get all the accounts clear, and I enjoy the presence of the Spirit. Well, a couple of hours go by, and what happens? Maybe you stumble. You think the wrong thought, you say the wrong thing, you fall into sin, and you know what you're doing? You're quenching all the blessed power of the Holy Spirit that you could enjoy. So immediately you confess that sin. Might be 10:30 in the morning. You just lost your temper. And you realize now you're not filled with the Spirit. Lord, forgive me of that. Fill me afresh and anew with your Spirit. It is a very dangerous thing to go an hour not being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If you enjoy the filling of the Spirit, God will direct you to souls. God will give you encouragement and strength as you pray. God will give you wisdom, sir, to lead your family, to raise your kids, to be a pastor's wife, to be a pastor, to be a Spirit-filled mechanic or engineer, and you can be used of God to do more than just be saved. You can fulfill the Great Commission as a child of God if you live a Spirit-filled life. I want to look this morning to help us understand the filling of the Spirit at one word. It's the word, actually we see it two words in the English, be filled. There's the command, be filled. The Greek word behind those two words is the word plerao, plerao. It means this, it means filled up and running over. Plerao means replete. It means you have all you need and more. We find the same word in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, where the Bible says, you are complete in Him. There the Bible says, Christian, you really do have all you need to do the will of God. You have all you need to go to a country, and you can't even speak the language yet, and God will give you all you need and more to learn the language and then to do what God's called you to do. Filled up and running over. Hey, you know where else we find that word? Philippians 4:19. You memorized it. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The word supply is the word plerao, filled up and running over. So God says, I'll take care of you. You just live a Spirit-filled life. Walk with me. Have a heart to fulfill the heartbeat of Jesus, which was the Great Commission, and I will supply not only what you need, but sometimes I'll just give you more than you need. I'll give you the little goodie bag that you guys gave to the missionaries last night. And you look at that goodie bag. Wow, wonderful. More than I need. Some things probably I maybe shouldn't be eating, but I'll do it anyway. You know, it's a gift from the church, so I'll go ahead and indulge, and it'll be wonderful. Potato chips, which I've avoided for many years. We won't get into that. Even though last night I did see on the table, you know, we had supper, I saw this thing in plastic, and it was brown, and it said vegan brownie. And I thought to myself, really? I mean, that sounds like an oxymoron. That's like I'm from the government and I'm here to help you, you know? But I didn't take one. But maybe somebody will share that with you before you leave. But anyway, look at this word now. Be filled, plerao. Now, in the Greek, we don't have just that word, plerao. That's kind of the root word. There's some letters on the end which tell us a lot about what that Greek word really means and the import of it. So, I want to look this morning at five elements of a Greek verb. Believe me, this is not as cerebral as you think it might be. I mean, I couldn't preach it if it was. It's not that complicated. You're going to think for a minute we're in English class, but I promise you, by the grace of God, it helps me. Maybe it'll help you. Five elements of a Greek verb, and we find those in English. I'll tell you what they are. Tense, now not like going camping, hey, let's take a couple of tents. No, T-E-N-S-E, tense, voice, mood, person, and number. And as we look at that word pleroth, I guess there's pleroustase, an ending, which tells us the tense of the Greek verb, the voice, the mood, the person, and the number. So let's look at all five of those. Number one, tense. What is tense? English class, you know, past tense, present tense, and future tense. You know, like yesterday in the airport, I bought a Snickers bar before I got on the plane. It cost $3.95. Woo! But anyway, I've eaten half of it. I'm saving the rest. I need to ration it out when you spend $4, you know. But that was yesterday. Yesterday, I bought the Snickers bar, all right? Today, I'll probably eat the last half. I really like chocolate. So that's today, present tense. I'm eating now this Snickers bar. Tomorrow, I'll probably buy another one somewhere, you know, if I can find it. That's the future. What tense do you think this is in? Well, the answer is simple. It's in the present tense in the Greek, present tense. So it says, right now, this moment, be filled with the Spirit. The present tense in the English has more power or import than present in the English. Present tense in the Greek has more import than the one in the English. Let me illustrate that. Present tense in the English is what we call a continuous tense. Picture a line. Here's a line coming inside the auditorium through that brick wall. It comes across in front of me, and it goes outside that wall. And it goes on and on and on. It's continuous. So here we see that when are we supposed to be filled with the Spirit? We know it doesn't happen in one wonderful service and you walk down the aisle, you'll be filled with the Spirit. It changes your life. No, we know it constant over and over and over. So the tense tells me I'm to be filled with the Spirit all the time. Luke 11:13 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Remember what James said in chapter 4, verse 2? He said, ye have not, because ye ask not. What happens to us is we just forget the blessing of a Spirit-filled day. And you know, we find that we're angry about something. We lose our temper, lose our testimony. We're unkind to someone, and we forget that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, macrothumia, long fuse, long burn. We forget the fruit of the Spirit. We forget that we could have enjoyed victory over that anger. We could have enjoyed victory over that indulgence if we had been filled with the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit includes temperance or self-control. We're impatient. We forget long-suffering from the fruit of the Spirit. We have a lack of love for someone. We forget the first fruit of the Spirit is biblical agapao, self-sacrificial love. So that's what happens to us if we're not careful. We forget that be filled is in the present tense, so constantly, continuously, I must ask, am I filled with the Spirit? There are times now when I wake up in the middle of the night, happens often now, and I'm awake for a while. And usually the first thing I'd say is, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I don't want to waste this time that I'm awake. I guess it happens when you get older, you know, and when you're in the twilight of life. I'll probably be dead soon, but I'm 72 years old. So anyways, I'm seeing heaven. But I wake up and I say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, because I don't want to waste that time. If He wants to keep me awake for a while, I want to know who to pray for. I want to spend it in valuable time and then slip off to sleep. Do you remember that TV commercial years ago where you see on the screen a young lady with her little child in the stroller? And she kneels down to the little child in the stroller, and this lady has some French fries. And she takes one out and she offers it to the little kid. Here, have a French fry. You know, you'll enjoy it. And then all of a sudden, I could have had a V8. Oh, I should have had something healthy rather than that French fry. Same thing with us. You lose your temper, you think the wrong thought, you're involved in the wrong activity, and you say, I could have been filled with the Spirit. I didn't have to do that. I could have really trusted God. So, point number one, tense. The tense of be filled is all the time, continuous, present action. All right, so we have tense, number one. Number two, we have voice. What is voice? Well, in English, we have active voice and passive voice. Active is when the subject does the acting. Passive, the subject is acted upon. For example, Billy smacked his brother George. That's active. Billy, the subject, did the acting. Or passive would be, George just got smacked by his brother Billy. That's the subject being acted upon. Active voice and passive voice. Now you would think when God says be filled with the Spirit, you think it's active. It is not. It's in the present tense in the Greek. It's in the passive voice. You know what that means? That means I cannot fill myself with the Spirit. That means I cannot do certain things, and that makes me a Spirit-filled believer. God does the filling. Yes, we do the asking. Lord, forgive me of that sin. Put it under the blood of the Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Spirit afresh and anew. And then God does the filling. You see, there's a warning here. If we're not careful, we begin to think that if we do certain things or even look certain ways, then that makes us Spirit-filled believers. We need to be so careful in the context even of our local churches. If we're not careful, we manufacture a performance-based spirituality. And that is, you know, I say to you, just casual conversation, you know, we're in the foyer and I'm trying to impress you how spiritual I am. And I say, let me ask you a question. Do you have a television? Oh, you do. I don't. And you see, there's an automatic implication that I'm a Spirit-filled believer. Or, do you go to a certain place? I don't. Do you wear certain clothes, whatever? I don't do that. And if we're not careful, we begin to look at others in the local church and we give them a certain grade and say, because he doesn't do this, or he does do this, or looks like this, or doesn't look like that, he must be a Spirit-filled believer. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? He said, ye pay tithe of anise and cumin, the herbs, you know, that's good. We're glad that you tithe. But he finished it saying, what about the weightier matters of the law? You know? So what about bitterness we may have in our heart? Oh, we look good. We do the right things. We must be Spirit-filled. What about covetousness? I would like to have that even though God hasn't given it to me. I want that, you know. What about evil thinking? What about wrong ambitions? What about unforgiving spirit? Oh, we need to be so careful that we don't say he's Spirit-filled, he's not Spirit-filled on the basis of what we see. God does see the heart. Now, the good point is this. If God does the filling, it is supernatural. Amen. It's way beyond whatever I can do. I mean, the Word of God says that God is love. So I'm supposed to love the unlovely. Think of somebody you know that they're a believer, but they're just not your cup of tea, you know, and they kind of rub you the wrong way. How can I really love them? If you live a Spirit-filled life, yes, you can. Think of the unsaved folks that maybe some of these missionaries will be facing in these foreign countries that have no idea of who God is. I remember preaching a couple of weeks in country of Moldova, former USSR, and I knew that those teens I was preaching to, they never heard the name of God. They came out of communist Russia. And I had to say, Holy Spirit, will you remove the blindness from their eyes and show them who God is and who Jesus is and why they need to be born again? Only God could do that. I couldn't do it by skillful exposition and great illustrations and make them feel good maybe, but only God could open the heart. So think about trials you face. Lord, fill me with your Spirit so I can not be angry. Fill me with your Spirit so I can love my wife with a sacrificial biblical love. Fill me with your Spirit so I can have victory over all the evil around me in our day. Present tense, always be filled. Passive voice, God does the filling. And number three, mood. Tense, voice, mood. What is mood in English? Well, we've got what we call the indicative mood. We indicate something. Thank you for letting me be here and share the Word of God. We're here and serving God, worshiping God together. That's the indicative mood. How about this? You know, the good guys capture the bad guy, and the bad guy's in the room, and they put the light on him, and they say, we're going to interrogate the perpetrator. Interrogate, that's the interrogative mood, asking a question. Now, probably, if you've heard a message on this passage before, you already know. This is in the what? It's in the imperative mood. Imperative mood is a command. The command here is be filled. All the time, God will do the filling. It is a command. It's like saying, you know, in the military, ten, hut. You know, that's a command. When I was in high school in Memphis, Tennessee, where I was born and raised, we had ROTC, Reserve Officer Training Corps, and I loved it. I loved the discipline of it. I loved the wearing the uniform, learning about how to shoot the gun, you know, and the principles of military. I was not in the military. God kept me out because I was training to be a preacher, but I loved ROTC. I'd spend usually all, well, evening on Tuesday night shining my black shoes so that you could see your face in them. I did exactly what I was told to do. I had a great time the first year. The second year in ROTC, I was shocked when I found out that I was an officer, second lieutenant. What did that mean? That mean I had a platoon of guys that I got to yell at all the time. It was great. I was training to be a Baptist preacher, you know? And I'd say, 10, hut, right face, march, left face, march to the rear, march. And I learned how to offer a command. This is in the imperative mood or mode, and it is a command. Now let me ask you a deep question. If this is a command, if I obey the command, I'm obedient. So that means, flip side, if this is a command, if I am not filled with the Spirit right now, I am blank. Disobedient. I'm disobedient. I heard one preacher say many years ago, it is very dangerous to spend 1 hour not being filled with the Spirit. If you do that and you have unconfessed sin and you know it and you hold on to it, you're quenching the Spirit. And you know what? You're now a sucker for a devil setup. And the devil will see that. He knows your weakness. He knows your besetting sin. And he will set you up and you're ready to fall into sin. And when it happens, your heart will be broken if you're a believer. And you'll say, was I a fool? I could have been filled with the Spirit. So the imperative mood tells us that be filled is a command. And if we're not filled with the Spirit, we're disobedient. So what do we have? Tense, voice, mood, and the last two, very simple and short. Person and number. What is person? You remember in English class, remember seeing it on the board, I am, you are, he, she, or it is? That's number. First person, I am. Second person, you are. Third person, he, she, or it. So the question is, what person do you think this is in? Well, it's in the second person. So you could translate it like this. Second person, you be filled with the Spirit. You know what that does? That makes you responsible for what you're hearing right now. Some of you are sitting there and you're saying, wow, I wish my husband was here. He needs to hear this. I'm going to get the tape. I'm going to get the sermon so he can hear it. I wish my teenage son was here so he could hear this. He needs to live a spirit-filled life. You can't do that because God, the Holy Spirit, is saying to you, he's saying, Dave, you be filled with the Spirit. George, Margaret, and Marilyn, whatever your name is, George, Bill, you be filled with the Spirit. Usually, when we quench the power of the Holy Spirit, it is because there's something in our life we're holding back, some area. If God speaks to someone this week and calls you to the mission field, just say yes. We hear stories every once in a while. God spoke to me in a service and I just said no. I mean, I wanted to be an engineer. I don't know who'd want to be an engineer. Woo! But no, that's wonderful. I want to be a mechanic. You know, I want to be this teacher. And God had to work. So if God speaks to you, just yield it to Him. He'll give you the grace to do what He's called you to do. Have you ever heard of the Bible expositor named G. Campbell Morgan? He talks about when we preach about surrendering all to Jesus, I surrender. We're going to give it all to Him. We want to consecrate our lives to Him. He says, I use a different word. Rather than consecration, I use the word abandonment. Let me quote what he said. I use abandonment intentionally. Consecration is a great word, but so much abused that it's lost much of its deep significance. Abandonment is not an ordinary theological term, but it is full of force. Whenever we make wholehearted, absolute, unquestioning, positive, final abandonment of our life to God, filling with the Spirit results. Now, I'm not completely sure what his application is. We already know it's not a one-time situation, but if you listen to what he says, whenever you have unconfessed sin, you just confess it, abandonment into the Lord. He goes on to say this. He said, this may be easy to talk about, but all men shrink from abandonment. They would rather do anything else. Nothing can take the place of abandonment. Some attempt prayer where God has put abandonment. Others profess to wait until God is willing to fill them. Both are wrong. While they may think they are waiting for God, God is waiting for them. Is there anything you need to abandon this morning? The Holy Spirit putting His finger of love and conviction in the area in your heart. And you say, boy, I'm not enjoying a Spirit-filled life. And maybe this is it. Maybe this is this one area I'm not willing to give up. Well, thank the Lord He brought you here this morning so you could just give it up. You could just give it to God. Lord, forgive me. Lord, fill me afresh and anew. He will do that. And by the grace of God, you can enjoy the Spirit-filled life. So we got tense, voice, mood, person. Last of all, number. Number. Now that's an easy one. Singular or plural. If there's just one, that's singular. If there's more than one, that's plural. If you have one Snickers bar, this is good. But if you have two or three, glory, it's much better. If you're not concerned about adult diabetes, which can come if I keep eating too much chocolate. But anyway, number, singular or plural. Now, what do you think this is? I'm so thankful that it is not singular. I'm so thankful that it is plural. That means the filling of the Holy Spirit is not just for Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, your pastor, your assistant pastor, your spiritual dad. It's for all of us. Any child of God, born-again believer, can enjoy the Spirit-filled life. That's plural. All of you be filled with the Spirit. And then, as we close, let's not forget the metaphor in the verse. Be not drink with wine. That's not a perfect metaphor, but when we apply it, but there's some application. You think about someone who is intoxicated. If he is, he's usually empty of all else, and he wants more of that drink. Spirit-filled believer, empty of all else. And he enjoys it, she enjoys it, and says, oh, I didn't know what I was missing. Now I want to live the Spirit-filled life every moment of every day. You take a guy that's drunk with wine, He's filled with unnatural boldness. You know, he's brave. I'll take on anybody that's 6 feet tall. I'll do it, you know. Same thing with a Spirit-filled believer. Now we have an unnatural boldness to witness to that total stranger, to give the gospel to our neighbors, you know, even though we have to live with them all the time and they're always there, to give the gospel to our relatives, unnatural boldness result of Spirit-filled life. How about you? Remember when we started this study? How are you filled with the Spirit? Confess any known sin, ask God to forgive you, and ask, Lord, fill me with your Spirit right now. It may go without saying in this crowd, but I sure want to say it. This is only for Christians. This is only for born-again believers. You see, the Holy Spirit takes presence in your body when one time in your life, by simple faith, you bow your head and pray and ask Jesus Christ alone to be your Savior. If you've never done that, that's why God brought you here this morning, probably, so you could do it and get it settled and go home rejoicing. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Thank you for listening so well to God's Word this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed, just a couple of questions. I wonder if there's someone who'd say, Brother Dave, there is an area in my life. It's not confessed right now. I know it's there. I want to, right here in my seat in silent prayer, ask God to forgive me of that sin and fill me afresh and anew with His Holy Spirit. I didn't mention a lot of specific sins, but the Holy Spirit's better to preach than I'll ever be. So who'd say, Brother Dave, pray for me right here. I want to admit a certain sin to God and ask for a fresh anointing and filling of the Spirit. Did God speak to you? Slip up your hand. I want to rejoice with you. God bless you and you and you and you. Wonderful many hands. Praise the Lord for humble, pliable hearts. God speaks. God forgives immediately. 1 John 1:9 when we confess. And He'll fill us afresh with His Holy Spirit. Be warned, believer. When we study this subject, the devil listens, doesn't he? 24 hours a day, he's accusing us. And he will probably swing into action sometime this week and try to get you fall into sin so you will not enjoy the blessing and power of the Spirit-filled life. Anybody say, Brother Day, pray for me. I'm going to be honest with you and honest with God. I am not 100% sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. I know I don't want to go to hell. I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus paid the price on the cross of Calvary for me, and there's a tugging at my heart right now, and I'm going to admit it. I'm not sure I'm really a child of God. And Brother Dave, by the grace of God, the best I know how, I want to invite Jesus to be my Savior this morning from hell. Put up your hand if that's your prayer. Anyone need to be born again here in the auditorium this morning? Is there someone? Anyone listening to the sound of my voice? If God's speaking to you, you can receive Christ right now by simple faith. Not difficult. Just admit, you know, you're a sinner, you deserve hell, and ask Jesus alone to wash away your sin and become your Savior from hell. You do it by simple, childlike faith. Is there someone? I'm looking around the auditorium. If you need to do that, I trust you will do that. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that His death on the cross not only delivers us from hell, but can give us the power through the presence of the Holy Spirit to live in victory every moment of every day. We are helpless, Lord, without you, but we thank you that through you and your Spirit, we can indeed leap over the wall. Help us to do it. Thank you for those who raised their hand a minute ago. And even as I talk to you, I pray they'll do the same thing. Confess sin, rejoice in forgiveness, and ask for the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, will you speak to us this week? Speak to me. And I pray that you have something special for us to do that you'll make it clear. Go to the mission field, whatever it might be. I pray your will be done. In thy name we pray. Amen.